Just don't let anybody use the logo that represents our church. So if you're interested in that, there is a sign-up sheet out there. We want you to sign up by this coming Wednesday. And you can give the money now or when it comes in, please give the money to my wife. The polo shirts cost $19. And if you have questions, you can see myself or my wife. There is even another polo shirt out there if you want to see what the material feels like. Senior luncheon is coming up Thursday. We need you to sign up by today if you plan on coming so we know how much food to prepare. I know there's also some different food items that we need people to help us bring in. And probably our big thing we're focusing on is our military appreciation service. That is this coming Saturday. That is at 6 p.m. military appreciation service. We're hoping that everybody wants to be involved with that. We're hoping everybody will come. We're also hoping everybody will do their part in outreach and asking people. I couldn't imagine as a child, I might not know what a veteran was or an active duty military, but I can imagine probably everybody in the room knows someone who is either a veteran or active duty. It's intended for each of them, anyone that would like to come. The only way that we're going to get this done, though, is if people are asking people to come. Obviously, I have three goals with it. We're going to explain it Sunday morning, put a little bit of a push for emphasis. Number one, obviously, to glorify the Lord. That's what we want to do with everything. Number two is to help have our heart to have an interest in reaching out to those that are in the military, whether those who've served before or are active duty. We do have a Coast Guard base inside Elizabeth City, and we do have a number of people who serve even all the way up in Norfolk and things like that that live in Elizabeth City, that we would have a burden to try to reach out to them and that our church would be interested in seeing them. And he says, well, and I know it's a little bit different because they don't live on the base, they live in the community, but we should be praying for that. And we would like to see that. In the past, we've seen our church have a number of different Coast Guard representatives active duty. And now we only have one that is visiting our church. But we do have a number that have retired in different branches of the military, all that. I'd like to see us have a burden. I'd like to see us have outreach. I'd like to see us try to help win our military to the Lord. And last but not least, we like to see people saved. I guess the fourth thing is we want to also honor those veterans and honor those that are serving because we are truly thankful for what they do. So all those different things, the way you help us out is three different ways. Number one, please be here. Number two, invite others by bringing those things. And number three, if you'd like to help give something, we're taking on the outside of your envelope, if you mark military appreciation service, that way it'll go to theirs to help with the cost of the different gifts that are going to be given next week, but also for the love offering. Brother Dave Knopfsinger is going to be here. He's going to be the one that's going to be speaking on Saturday night, but also be preaching for us on Sunday. I've never personally met him. I've heard him speak. He has a very good reputation, and most importantly, he loves the military, and he loves the Lord, and he had a couple churches that had, he is also a veteran, had a couple churches that were outside military bases, and he had an outreach to them here in America. So looking forward to that. He'll be actually not only preaching Saturday night for us, he'll also be preaching Sunday school and Sunday morning next week. So you'd be praying for him. His name is David Knopfsinger. Also, Pastor Chuck Pearson from Tidewater Baptist Church is going to be giving his testimony next Saturday night, how he was saved while in the military on a boat. And the testimony, and it's good. I think you'll enjoy that. And so looking forward to all those things happening. A couple other things you have mentioned in there. Next week, we'll begin talking more about a couple other things, especially about getting ready for a Christmas banquet and also other Christmas things. And so those are all things there in your bulletin either way. Okay, so let's jump in. The title of this morning's message, lesson, whatever you want to call it, Only Take Heed to Thyself. Only take heed to thyself. That's an interesting way to it's phrased. It's found in verse number 9 in Deuteronomy chapter number 4, when the Bible says, only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently. The thought for today, and once again, it's not the idea we're staying in one story, but it's one thought that each of the lessons kind of go along with, is we need the Lord in our lives. We need to make sure that our walk is right with God and that we're close with the Lord and that we're continually being close with God. And this passage of scripture here, it talks about here about taking heed, take heed to thyself in the thought process. Make sure you're taking care of yourself spiritually. I guess I heard a preacher one time ask this question and I thought it was interesting. Can we misplace God? Can we misplace him? And the reality is, you know, it seems like a ridiculous statement because of the fact he's the creator of the universe. How do you misplace the creator of the universe? How do you misplace the one who's made us? How do you misplace whose existence and glory is seen all around us? And that's the thought there is, can I really misplace God? But oftentimes in our life, what we have done is we have not misplaced God, but we have displaced God. We have put other things where God belongs and where God deserves to be. Hosea chapter 8 and verse 14, there's a phrase that's found in there in the Bible. It says, have forgotten his maker. It's talking about the nation of Israel. And when he's talking about how they forgot their maker, that word forgotten comes from the Hebrew word shaka. It carries a thought of not just innocently forgetting, but purposely ignoring. And that's what happened with the nation of Israel. It wasn't the fact that they had just innocently forgotten God. Instead, they have replaced God, and they have replaced God with other things. They have replaced God with idols, and they have replaced God with other things. And when it came to it, and sometimes I think that's important to see. Hosea 4:8-14 says, for Israel have forgotten his maker and buildeth temples, and Judah have multiplied fenced cities. But I will send a fire upon his cities, and it shall devour the palaces thereof. It's the idea that they're there, and they haven't just casually forgotten. As I've gotten older, I don't know if this happens to you, but it definitely happens to me. As I've gotten older, many times I will, not on purpose, I will innocently forget things. I hate it when I forget people's names. I don't know about you, that might not bother you, but being a pastor, you try to learn people's names, and usually after two or three times, especially if somebody's visiting a church, I try to drill it in my head because how rude it might seem that you forget someone's name. And I innocently forget things all the time. That's not what he's talking about here. He's talking about here, and when they forgot God, Israel, when it forgot God, it did something on purpose. It purposely ignored and it replaced someone. So the idea of misplacing versus displacing. Displacing means to remove from a proper place or order, to take over the place, to take over a position, to take over a world, a role. Israel's great sin was not innocent forgetfulness, but ill-considered displacement. The Bible warns us of idolatry, putting something before God. The Bible warns us of that. It tells us that it says it in the Ten Commandments. Others' gods, other things, other interests took God's place in their hearts and lives. And when Moses was preparing the people of Israel for his departure, he carefully warned them about this danger. He came to a spot and he says, hey, look, don't do this. Don't forget God. He says, don't let things displace God. And that's what so many people have done, even in America. They have taken and they put in God in a certain spot and say, okay, God's okay for Sunday. And they've displaced other areas of our lives that are so valuable and so important. So in Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse number 9, we see Moses teaching this new generations. And as we see this, he's teaching these new generations. He turns around and he comes to this moment and he says, only take heed to thyself. He is getting ready to go the way of the world, or go the way of the earth. And the fact he's getting ready to die. The new generation is now getting ready to cross Jordan. And as they're getting ready to cross Jordan, they're getting ready to go into the promised land. Remember 40 years earlier, 40 some years earlier, they had said no. And Moses is here, and I know it's not really technically his final address, but as he's giving this address, this is one of his final addresses as he gives to this new generation, he tells them something. He says, make sure you take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. Forgetting God in the context which you're considering occurs when we believe something intellectually, but we fail to allow that belief to influence our behavior as individuals. Think about what I'm saying. It's when we intellectually, we say, we acknowledge that God is existence and we acknowledge that he is creator, but then we forget to say, we let that change our lives. We let that change our lives when it comes to our families. We let that change our lives when it comes to our national life. We let that change our lives when it comes to other area. And Moses is warning that when Israel comes into this land and there was ease and prosperity in this land, to beware lest they put God out of his place. God was supposed to be supreme. He was supposed to be holy. He was supposed to be ruler of all. And there are so many of us today that acknowledge that there is a God. And there's so many people that come to church and says, I know there's a God. But in all reality, we don't act like there's a God. We live whatever way we want. And because we live whatever way we want in our lives, we have displaced God from his proper spot. And so Moses is coming to them in verse number 9. He says, only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently. So the encouragement today and encouragement throughout the day is going to be something concerning this thought. We need God in our lives. We need God in every area of our lives. And we need to make sure that we have not displaced God. Once again, you can't misplace him. You see him all around you. You even come to church sometimes. You hear him. You acknowledge, yes, I know there's a God. Yes, I know there's a God. But it's when I don't apply him into my life. And when I don't put him in every area of my life, I take him from that rightful spot. I take him from that rightful moment and I place him somewhere else. I displace him. And many times people, when they use that word displace, they're thinking of, hey, there's a storm that came and they devastated or destroyed areas. And these people have been displaced from where they lived at to this other community because of the fact that no longer is it appropriate for them to be there or it's unsafe for them to be there. And what we have done is we have taken God in our lives and have displaced him from where he belongs in our lives as ruler and supreme, and we have placed him somewhere else. And when we do that, what happens is we forget. And that's where you come in this passage of scripture. He says here in verse number 19, in verse number 9, he says, only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thy eyes have seen. So how does a man displace God? And we're going to get to a little bit more closer here in Deuteronomy chapter number 4 as we have time. But how do men displace God today as Israel did in Hosea's day? How do men forget about God? Not a innocent forgetting. How do they purposely forget? And the first thing we've already responded, they acknowledge God's existence intellectually, but do not respond with obedience. They acknowledge that God exists in their mind, but they do not respond with obedience. God accepted it intellectually without responding to obedience. What we do is we lose the conscience presence of God. We've been talking about in Sunday school class how the goodness of God leadeth to repentance. And as we talk about how the goodness of God leads to repentance, it will help us understand as you see the goodness of God and you remind yourself of the goodness of God. And as we talked about this past week, hopefully you're following through with that Wednesday night encouragement that number one, write down something each day about the goodness of the Lord. And number two, how he's been merciful to you. Number three, how he's been truth. If you spend time meditating on that, that will change the way you look at God. You're not going to forget if you take time to consider he's been good to me. He's been good to me here, and he's been good here to me here, and he's been merciful. He's held back this from me. We're going to be able to start seeing how much we need him, how desperately we need him, and how much we are dependent upon him. And then you come to the spot, the truths that he's been teaching in our lives. Israel regulated God to the temple, and they regulated God to the one day of the week. That was Sunday. That was it. That this is my God. This is my temple. They didn't bring him in their home. They didn't bring him in their fields. They didn't bring him in the marketplace. They didn't bring in their hobbies. They didn't bring it inside their family. So many today, God is God for church. God is God for church in some Sundays, but do not influence these other areas of my life. And that's how we forget about him. Is when we displace him instead of saying he is Lord, and we forget how much we need him. And that's what Moses is saying here. He's saying to him, look, take heed unto thyself. He's saying, make sure you diligently take care of your soul. Diligently be in the word of God. Diligently be praising him. Diligently be listening to teaching and preaching in modern day. You know, diligently be praying. Diligently, all these different things. He says, if you do not take heed and take care of your soul, you're going to forget who God is. We're not talking about innocently thinking, oh, you know what? I forgot to praise the Lord today. We're talking about letting others things replace who he is, and that they become to a spot that they are purposely ignoring him because something else is sitting in a spot. It begins when we begin to say, I acknowledge there's a God, but I'm not going to let it change how I live. It changes how I look. It changes how I act on a Sunday, but it doesn't change every other area of my life. That's a dangerous spot to be in. And that's why he's telling this group. He has just dealt with it. We're going to talk about Moses tonight a little bit. He has just dealt with 40 years of a stubborn, stiff-necked people. He had seen the burning bush. He had seen Egypt. He had seen the Red Sea. He had seen all these different things that are happening all throughout the nation of Israel. And he has experienced all these things. And at the end of his life, he's not getting into the promised land because he hit the rock instead of speaking to the rock. And he says to them, take heed to thyself. He says, listen to the commandments, listen to the obedience, take heed to thyself. If not, you're going to forget, just like the nation of Israel had forgotten. Second thing I want you to think about, not only is it having an intellectual knowledge, but not responding with obedience. Second thing is they built cities, farms, and buildings instead of their lives. They built buildings, they built cities, they built farms, they built in that day, they had built a bunch of different temples. They had built a bunch of different groves and high places and other things in the day of Hosea. We're looking back in Hosea 8:14 and the idea of modern day versus today. How do people forget God like they did back in Hosea? And this is the reason why, is because they built lives apart from God. Israel was filled with beautiful groves and with high places. It was filled with things of worship. It was filled with other things that God just was not present with them. She goes through the book of Kings, and it's a really interesting study. I preached a message on it once, that how all these kings did all these good things, but they did not take down the high places. They did all these wonderful things when revival happened, but there was only a few kings that took down the high places. And it's the idea that if the only way we're going to truly have revival in our hearts and lives is if we get rid of those high places, those things that were things that were distracted. It's so easy to return to the high place if it's sitting there. That's a whole other message, but here's the idea of Hosea. They build their lives without acknowledging God. They let things and people misplace. No, they displace God. They took God off the throne. He put him over here and say, okay, you can come back next Sunday. You can come back when it's convenient for me. But while I'm working, I can't be a Christian. While I'm doing this hobby, I can't be a Christian. When I'm dealing with my family, I can't have you on the throne. And that's what he is, as a conscious replacing of God. When God is displaced, the temporal begins to become, take precedence over the eternal, the material over the spiritual. That's when material becomes a higher thing in God, our eyes, and God, we got to get to the spot that we take care of ourselves. And we said, that's what he says, only take heed to thyself in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9, and keep thy soul diligently. It's a diligence that I must remember and remind myself, I need God, I need God. The last thing is they sought security in everywhere but from God. And so once again, we're looking at Hosea and the day that Hosea that they forgot the Lord. How did they forget the Lord? Number one, they acknowledged there was a God, but they didn't live obediently. Secondly, they built these things, their lives, their farms, their homes, whatever it is that they was the big part of their life, they built those things apart from God. God could be part of it, but they wasn't number one. They spent all this time and all this energy, all these things. And the danger in this is what Moses is saying in Deuteronomy, take heed unto thyself and to thy soul. And he's saying, and keep thy soul diligently. Put God first. Continue to put him first day after day. Put him on the throne. Continue to make sure he's on the throne. And seeking their own means of security. It was easy for men to displace God. It's easy to say, I can trust God in this area, but when it comes to security, I can't trust God. You think about it, we talk about security a lot today. We talk about wanting to have secure borders and secure homes and secure investments. And it's such a perilous world that we live in. Men is always seeking security, and God is the one that says, I want you to trust me. Even sometimes in danger spots, sometimes in hard spots, I want you to trust me. I want you to trust me with that relationship. I want you to trust me with your finances. I want you to trust me with your future. I want you to trust me with your family. I want you. And when men have turned around and they've completely forgotten God in certain areas, what they've done is they've displaced God. They says, okay, God, I'm trusting you for my salvation. I'm trusting you on Sunday. You better be there and you better do this and this and this. But here in this other areas, I need to find security. I got to take care of myself. I got to have this and I got to do this. I got to trust in this and I got to trust in that. Oh, this person might not. I can't. No, if we forget God, if we displace him, when we take him off the throne, we begin seeking other ways to find security. And Hosea talked about, he says, I will send the fire upon his cities, and it should devour the palaces thereof. The cities that they had built without God, there was a fire, they were reaping the whirlwind of what they have sowed. And I think that's what's happening in America today. We have displaced God. We have taken him out of the classrooms. We have taken him out of these other places. Many people have taken him out of their homes and taken him out of their hobbies, and they have taken him out of their lives until they're resonating. We're taking you, we're moving you over here, Lord. You can't misplace God. You know who he is. If you're a Christian believer, he lives in you. But don't displace him. Don't put him somewhere else. And so Moses is here, and he's giving this one of these last messages to him. And we're just going to read through it a little bit. And I think there's some really important things that you'll remind you of. But it's the idea, take heed unto thyself. Keep thy soul diligently. Make sure the Lord's where he's supposed to be. You're not going to have it without reading your Bible. You're not going to have it without praying. You're not going to have it without having a walking with the Lord. He's not going to be in your rightful spot if you're not putting things first in your life, the things that he tells you to put first, whether it be praying, whether it be Bible reading, whether it talks about serving, whether it talks about giving, your relationship with your church, these things that he puts an emphasis on. Don't displace those things. Let's read Deuteronomy chapter number 4. Can imagine Moses here, 120 years old, probably somewhere around there. And he says, now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgment, which I teach you for to do them, that you may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers will give of you. Once again, this new generation is getting ready to cross the Jordan River. It's the older man. He doesn't get to go with them. And he's sitting there. And this is one of the things that's on his heart, one of the things that is on his mind. And he's saying to him, he says, look, obey the statute. Obey the commandments. They're important. You're not going to do what's right. You're not going to possess the land. You're not going to accomplish what you think you need to accomplish or what you want to accomplish. You're not going to be that spiritual nation unless you're willing to obey these commandments. He says, ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Your eyes have seen the Lord did before because of Baal-peor, for all the men that followed Baal-peor, the Lord thy God, have destroyed them from among you. And it's speaking there, I believe, about Balaam and how the fact that he was not going to curse, he wasn't able to curse God, but he gave him that emphasis, hey, go let him marry amongst the heathen. They're going to turn their hearts. He says, they've been gotten rid of. But ye that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you this day. He says, behold, I taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me that you should do it so in the land whether you go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them. For this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise, understanding people. He's saying if you will learn to obey the Lord, that you will be a testimony amongst the nations. So often people want to fit in with the world. They want to look like the world. They want to act like the world. They want to fit in among the nations. God has never intended a believer to be that way. He wants us to be a testimony. He wants us to be salt. He wants us to be light. And once again, I understand as the days change, as people, there's different methods and understand, but we do not have to become like the world. We have to live in the world. We have to be of, but we do not have to be of the world. And that's what he's saying, that you should be a testimony to these nations. He says, for what, verse number 7, for what nation is there so great who have to look God so nigh unto them? And the Lord God is in all things that we call upon him. And what nation is there so great that have statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? I love to say verses 7 and 8, yes, I understand Israel. I understand America is not Israel today. I understand all that. But we were a nation that was near the Lord at different times because we obeyed his laws and his statutes. No longer can they say that about us. No longer can we say, hey, America's a Christian nation when the laws no longer line up that way. It has believers in it. But at the same time, he's saying that there was nations, there was privileges here. And that's what he's saying to this group. Hey, you're getting ready to go into the promised land. Now take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently. And it's speaking about that personal walk you have with the Lord. Obey the statutes, obey the commandments, be in this. And he says, you need to do this diligently. Don't take a hit or miss. Put God where he belongs. Don't misplace him. Don't displace him. Put him right where he belongs and keep thy soul diligently. Then he continues, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen. And that's part of the reason why we're spending so much time on the thought about thankfulness and thanksgiving. If you don't come on Wednesday nights, encourage you to get those series so far. If you will begin to take time to remember how good God's been to you, it's going to lead you to want to do what's right. It's going to help you. If you take time, and he says, you're going to forget. If you don't take heed to thyself, if you don't keep thy soul diligently, if you don't keep yourself close to God, you're going to forget. And what are they going to forget? And he says, lest I depart from the heart all the days of thy life. He says, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. You know, he's saying that having a family is so important. Having a family is such a privilege, but we're supposed to be teaching. What are we supposed to be teaching them? The things and the ways of God. I think it's wonderful when we can teach them certain things, and we can teach them certain trades, and we can teach them certain skills, and we can teach them such a wonderful, but they need to see someone who loves God and who's going to obey the statute and the commandments of the Lord. Then it keeps on going, especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they shall teach your children. What an amazing day that was. Nation of Israel was like, whatever God says, I'll do. Whatever you say, God. And they're there, and you came near and stood under the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire unto the midst of heaven with darkness, clouds, and thick darkness. We need to go back to that day of truth that God spoke to our hearts, and we were willing to surrender. We were willing to do whatever he said. I'm willing to forgive, and I'm willing to serve, and I'm willing. We need to have our hearts get back to that moment in time where, just like they did on that mountain, they saw God, or at least they saw what God wanted them to see, and they all looked, and they says, I realize who God is. They put him in the right spot. They realize he is creator, he's maker, and I want to serve God, and whatever he says, we're willing to do. But what, just days later, weeks later, what, they've forgotten these things. That's why he said, keep thy soul with all diligence. We need the Lord. And it says in verse number 11, they came near and stood under the mountain. The mountain burned with fire in the midst of the heaven, where darkness, clouds, and thick darkness. And the Lord spake unto you out of the midst of the fire. Ye heard the voice of the words, but saw no similitude. Only you heard a voice, and he declared unto you his covenant. He commanded you to perform even 10 commandments. And he wrote them upon tables of stone. And the Lord commanded me at that time to teach you statutes and judgments, that you might do them in the land whither you go over to possess it. Take ye therefore good heed. Once again, you see, take heed. Take ye therefore good heed unto yourselves. For ye saw no manner of similitude on that day that the Lord spake unto you in Horeb out of the midst of the fire. It says, take heed unto yourself, unless you what? In verse 16, lest you corrupt yourselves and make you a graven image, the similitude of any figure, the likeness of male or female, the likeness of any beast that is on the earth, the likeness of any winged fowl that flyeth in the air, the likeness of anything that creepeth upon the ground, the likeness of any fish that is in the waters beneath the earth. It is silliness sometimes, people that make similitudes of these things, and they worship them. And it's craziness. We look at that and we think, oh, who's going to worship that image of a man or a woman or an animal or a bird or some type of thing that creeps on the earth? But what we have done is we've taken God and displaced him somewhere else in our life, and we worship something else that's just as foolish. Our own pride sometimes, or our own hands and the things we've done, or our own hobbies and things like that. And he continues on. He says, take heed unto thyself. Take heed. Take ye there good heed in verse 15, verse 17. And go down to verse number 19. And lest thou lift up thine eyes into heaven, and when thou seest the sun and the moon and the stars, even all the hosts of heaven, shouldest be driven to worship them and serve them. Who's going to worship the sun? Someone who doesn't worship God. And it says, and worship them and serve them, which the Lord thy God hath divided unto all the nations under the whole heaven. Verse number 20. But the Lord hath taken you and brought you forth out of the iron furnace, even out of Egypt, to be unto him a people of inheritance, as ye are this day. Furthermore, the Lord was angry with me for your sake, and swore I should not go over to Jordan, and that I should not go into that good land which the Lord thy God giveth for thee an inheritance. But I must die in this land. I must not go over Jordan, but ye shall go over and possess that good land. So he's saying he was being punished for what he did. But verses 23, I want you to just take a quick look at and read down all the way through verse number 27. Take heed unto yourself. Once again, he says, look, take heed. Make sure you're taking heed. Make sure God's in the right spot in your life. Take heed unto yourselves. Obey the commandments. Obey the statutes. He says, lest ye forget the covenant of the Lord, your God, which he hath made you, and make you a graven image or the likeness of anything which the Lord thy God hath forbidden thee. For the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. Now, when he says, now he's talking about future here. When thou shalt beget children and children's children, and you have remained long in the land, and shall corrupt yourselves and make a graven image or the likeness of anything, and shall do evil in the sight of the Lord thy God to provoke him to anger. Joshua says something similar at the end of one of his last. He said, I know what you're going to do. You're not going to take heed to yourself. You're not going to do the things that are necessary to grow you spiritually and strengthen you spiritually. And you're going to think you're going to be fine. He says, but there's going to be a day and a time when you're not taking heed to yourself. As you're not taking heed to yourself, you're going to displace God and put him somewhere else. And you're going to be able to start, you're going to start worshiping somebody else. And it's going to provoke him to anger. He says, I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day, that you shall soon utterly perish from off the land whereunto you go over Jordan to possess it. Ye shall not prolong your days upon it, but ye shall utterly be destroyed. And the Lord shall scatter you among the nations, and ye shall be left a few in number among the heathen, whither the Lord shall lead you. He's talking about scattering amongst the nations, the nation of Israel. We saw that happen. We even saw how it happened in captivity, even today, that many are scattered among the nations. And it keeps on going. And he says, and there shall be, and there you shall serve gods, the work of men's hands, wood and stone, which neither see nor hear nor eat nor smell. But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him, if thou seek him with all thy heart, with all thy soul. So, Pastor, what's the difference? Obviously, I don't want to worship some type of idol. I don't want to displace God. I want him to be first in my life. It's taking heed, as it says in verse number 9, take heed to thyself. Keep thy soul diligently. Well, how do I do that? It's sound in verse number 29. But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him. If thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul, well, he's got to be first. And so that's the thought for today, is that have we displaced God? Have we put God somewhere else where he doesn't belong in our lives? Is he sitting on the throne of our life? Is he the one that we consider? Is he the one that we think of? We need God in our lives. And that's what he's telling him. He says, take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently. Don't forget God. Don't forget God's word. Don't forget God's commandments. And as we've read through, I know we read through a lot, but it talked about the day that they were sitting there at the mountain. They're there and they got the Ten Commandments and they were there. Whatever you want, Lord, whatever you want, Lord, we're willing to do. But when they got to the promised land, what did they do? They said, hey, let's go back to Egypt. Let's get a party started and let's kill Moses and Joshua and let's go back. We're not going to go into that promised land. We can't. Why? It's because they were looking for other protections. It's because they were not taking heed to thyself. We must learn, even though we're trying to take care of so many other people and so many other things, we must learn the most important thing is to take care of ourselves spiritually, to strengthen ourselves day after day, moment after moment. Our relationship with God needs to reign supreme. He needs to have that right spot. If you're too busy for that, then you're too busy. Something needs to change. If you can't have time to read our Bibles and pray and walk with the Lord and commune with the Lord on a regular basis and give him thanks and praise the Lord, we're just too busy. There's a moment in time. And I'm not saying it's a certain hour. I'm not saying it's certain minutes. I'm saying that we must not forget the Lord. We must not take him and move him to somewhere else. I think that's what we've done sometimes in certain areas of our lives. We've displaced him. We can't misplace him. You're here on a Sunday. You believe in God. You know he's here. Nation of Israel, he was God in the temple. He was God in the sacrifices. They brought the sacrifices still. But they had taken him and they had moved him to somewhere else. He's the God of Sundays, but he's not the God of my life. So today, I want to encourage you, and hopefully throughout the day, that God will convict our hearts, or at least speak to our hearts or encourage our hearts if we're ones that do keep him first, and that we will examine areas of our life and say, you know what? He is the God of Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday. Amen. He's not just the God of Sunday. And maybe I have displaced him. Maybe I have taken him and moved him over to this area and regulated him to this moment and this time. And he can have whatever he wants over here for this hour or this or these 2 hours. But as we talked about last Sunday a little bit, is there something that would refrain you from saying, God, whatever you want? God, I'm willing to surrender anything. I'm willing to go anywhere you tell me to go. I'm willing to do whatever you want me to do. There is nothing off the table. I am your servant. You are my master. Is there anything that you would say, Pastor, say to God, I'm not willing to do that? Then there's something wrong in our lives. We need to make sure we have misplaced them. No, we've displaced them. We say, you can have this area, but not this area. And that's a dangerous spot to be, because it took them to the spot where they began worshiping the graven images. They began doing all these other things. He provoked them to anger. So this morning, let's remember this. We need the Lord. Strengthen our inner man. When he says, only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget. Make sure that you keep your soul diligently. Take heed to thyself. If not, it says we're going to forget. And that's not a good place to be in. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer and ask God's help today. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for your word. Thank you for this example of Moses. I can imagine sitting there, the group of people listening. They're excited about going to the promised land. They've, after all these 40 years, they're probably ready to go. And then there's an older man that's there that's done so much and been their leader for so many years. He gives them this encouragement. Take heed to thyself. Keep thy soul diligently. He says, I've seen it before. I've seen it over and over. People forget, and when they forget, they displace God. And when they displace God, sooner or later, they start worshiping other things. God, help us. Help us to take heed to ourselves. Help us to keep our souls diligently. Help us never to forget Calvary. Help us never forget the things you've done. Help there not to be anything that we would say, God, I'm not willing to do that. God, instead, let's see him as Lord and Savior and say, God, whatever it is you want me to do, I'm willing to do. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed. We'll see you in about 18, 19 minutes for the service.